I have tried to memorize this message, not memorize it, but and I have not been successful. And so I want to apologize for there'll be times when I'm reading because I haven't been able to get it. All right. My desire today is to weave two different messages together, and you'll see that pretty soon. My desire is that you would be encouraged by both parts of this message, and we're going to talk about the body. The title of my message this morning is Our Incredible Bodies and His. And His. And that is the church, or the body of Christ. And it's the third message in our teaching theme of liberty and love. And I'm loosely connected to that as well. I want to share several pretty amazing things about these bodies that God created and made for us. And I'm going to ask you some questions. When you get to guess, because I think you probably don't know the answer. And that's all right. The main idea is that God has designed and gifted you. And instead of you, if you're taking notes, put me. God has designed and gifted me to fulfill a unique ministry in His church. And I think that's true for every believer. I don't work in a medical profession. Some in our congregation do. And so if you know the answers to the questions, I'm asking you to be mum, because most of us will not know the answers to the questions, and I want us to wrestle with that. I was at a conference last year where Philip Yancey, many of you recognize his name. He's one of the most widely published Christian authors in the world. There's over 15 million books in print that he have his name as the author. And they're printed in 40 languages. And he published a book, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago, called Fearfully and Wonderfully. And it was a book that he compiled. He met a missionary, medical missionary, in the 70s. A guy named Dr. Paul Brand. Have you ever, anybody recognize that name? He was very interesting. His parents were medical missionaries, and so he went to med school in England, and then decided that what he was going to do with his life was spend it helping lepers in India. He went to India, set up a leprosarium. At that time, there were 15 million lepers in India, and he was the only doctor caring for them. And as he was spending his life of decades, he was writing notes and things. He had notes from when he was in medical school, and he kept them. He intended to write a book, but he just never did. And Philip Yancey happened to be visiting him and saw this bucket with just hundreds of pages in it, and he said, "You know, Paul, I could take that and make a book out of it, and we could be co-authors." And he agreed to that, and so the book was written from this doctor's notes. And I've read it a couple times. I read it back then, and it just got re-updated last year. And I've read it again, and it's kind of mind-blowing. One of Philip's most popular books was What's So Amazing About Grace. If you haven't read that, I'd highly recommend it to you. A couple others. One of them is Where's Jesus When It Hurts? Or Where's God When It Hurts? and that disappointment with God. And all of those are very rich devotional books. You guys recognize, I hope, that the title of this book, Fearfully and Wonderfully, came from Psalm 139 that we just read. I want to read it again. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. How wonderful. I ask Jesus, how wonderful. You might ask him. All right, so I'm going to ask you three questions. It's not really a test. It's just three questions. No reason to be nervous. Question, if you know this because you work in the medical stuff, you know, I'm asking, you know, keep it to yourself. And nobody gets to cheat. No cell phones, no Google. Question number one. How many miles of blood vessels, including arteries, veins, and capillaries, are in the average adult human body? How many miles? And I'm going to give you a hint. I mean, I could let you guess right now. What did you say?
30 million.
No, no. You're thinking well, but that's not the right answer. Hint. It's between 100 and 100,000. So 30 million is not off by much, but it's off a little bit. Between 100 and 100,000 miles. So how about some guesses? 22,100. 32,000. Okay. Those are all good guesses. And this 100,000 is the answer. 100,000 miles. 100,000 miles of blood vessels are in each of our bodies. And there's a reason for that. Reason is that the blood carries oxygen and nutrition to cells, and every cell in our body needs to be touched. And we also when it's spent and needs to be expelled, that has to get taken away by the blood as well. So every cell has to be in contact with a blood vessel. 100,000 miles would go around the Earth at the equator four times. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Question two. On a clear night, not just a clear night, imagine that you're standing in a field in Oklahoma or something, you know, a flat plain. The air is dry, it's winter. There's no cities around, there's no ambient light. And you're looking off in the distance and you see a light. It's actually a candle lit. How far away can your eye detect that candle?
30 million miles.
Now, I didn't say you could see the candle. You can see the flame of the candle. It's 15 miles. 15 miles. Light, there's two different theories or descriptions of light. One of them is that light travels in waves, and one is that light travels in particles. Maybe particles make up the waves. A photon of light is the smallest amount of light that exists in our world. If it's smaller than a photon, it's not light. It might be some some part of physics of light, but it's not light. A photon is it. That's the tiniest thing. And our eyes are capable of responding to one photon of light. And of course, they respond to lots of light as well. Hint. Oh, I said that already. 15 miles. 15 miles is the Capitol Beltway from here. Okay. So imagine you're standing out and you're looking just out in the distance and somebody lights a candle and you can't see the candle and you can't see the person, but your eye can respond to the light. Fearfully and wonderfully made. All right, here's the bonus question. How many electrochemical neuron interactions occur in a healthy brain of an adult? And it's a rate. How many of these, you know, signals where the brain is talking to each other, you know?
A lot.
It's a very, 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 very big number. It's a really big number. It's a really big number. Okay, so it's not a million or 10 million or 100 million. It's not a billion or 100 billion. Or it's not a trillion. It's 5 trillion with a capital T.
For what?
Per second. That's what's going on in each of our brains. Just imagine, let's just say you're sitting down to dinner and it's a fabulous dinner. And you're thinking, you're smelling it, you're tasting it, you're seeing it, you're thinking about it, you're thinking about how much you're going to enjoy it. All of that is going on simultaneously in your brain. 5 trillion per second. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I said I was going to ask you 3 questions, but I'm going to give you 3 more bullet points. Are you believing that we're fearfully and wonderfully made? DNA. We're all familiar with DNA, right? It's the information part of our bodies. Every cell in our body has DNA in it. DNA has a billion letters in it. And the relationship of the letters and the sequence and is all critical. It only takes 2 letters to be wrong to cause cystic fibrosis as a disease. How many letters is a billion letters? If it was typed on a page, it would be 300 books of 1,000 pages each. 300,000 pages. That's the information that's in every cell of our bodies. I'll give you one other example. My sermon is not really long, so I know this is a long introduction, but so think about sound and hearing. You know the phrase, it's so quiet you can hear a pin drop, right? And I don't know if you've ever tried it, but you can drop a pin on a hard surface and you can hear it. Pin doesn't weigh hardly anything, but you can hear it. And we also, many of us, have been in a subway tunnel or in a subway station where the train comes and it's screeching loud, and that noise level in a subway is 1 trillion times how loud the pin drop is. And we can hear anything in that range. That's a trillion, that's 12 zeros. So I'm going to say one more thing and then move on. I want to discreetly mention something. I hope that nobody's offended. And you can tell me if you are later. But I want to talk about the fertilization of an egg. An egg gets fertilized by a sperm and becomes an ovum. And in that ovum are all the information, and in a period of 9 months, a body, a baby is born, and that baby has 50 trillion cells in its body. 50 trillion cells. It has a brain and a heart and eyes, two sets of teeth, right? I mean, the information for two sets of teeth. Bone, skin, liver. I remember when I was younger and my mom would talk about how it was a miracle. Every baby was a miracle. And I don't know, I wasn't really, I didn't consider myself hard-hearted, but I would think that's ridiculous. And then I've heard of from women here at church speaking about, you know, when somebody has a baby, this miracle, this baby. This baby is born through, you know, the biological processes that God has given in our bodies, and it's got 50 trillion cells in it. Each of us has 50 trillion cells, and all the functions that all these different organs have. If you would like to read about that, you can get that in this Fearfully and Wonderfully by Philip Yancey, and it will blow you. I've just given you 1% of what's in the book. Say again? It's author is Yancey. Yancey. So we're going to go from there to our scripture that was also read from 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start with verse 1. I'm not going to refer to every verse, but probably 80% of the chapter. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, and I'm adding in sisters. Scripture says brothers. Certainly it includes sisters. I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, wrote the letter to the church of Jesus Christ in ancient Corinth in Greece. And it was Greece, but it was actually Rome. Rome had conquered Greece, so it was a Roman province. But it was still Greece. Greece is known for the worship of all kinds of gods and temples. And so Paul's writing to that area, to people, and he's writing about spiritual gifts in this body of believers. He chose to clarify who he was writing to. In verse 3, it says, therefore I tell you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I think that's what's written. I think it's conceivable to me that somebody could say, Jesus is Lord, and not mean it. And I don't know where they fall on that spectrum. But Jesus is Lord. I'd like to invite you to say that with me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And when we're able to do that, God has said, you know, you have my spirit in you. We can say that because God's Spirit is in us. In verses 4 to 6, he talks about gifts three different ways. He says there are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. And it's interesting that it's easy to read over that and just think he's just talking about it three different words, you know. But they're actually, the words have different meanings. And gifts is charisma, and it's actually charis, not ma, but that refers to a gift. And in the context, a gift of grace. So God gives us gifts by his grace. The second one, service, is diakonia. I'm not a Greek scholar, but it's the word that we get deacon from. And it refers to action. God gives a gift that if we receive it, means we're going to be in action. And the third one is working. And working is energema, from which we get our word energy. And it is the effect that's produced by the service of the gift. It's a three-step process. But it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who works all of them in all men. And again, that includes women. And now I'm at verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation, the specific gift of the Spirit is given for the common good. What that, again, you can read over and say, okay, that's fine, and keep reading. But that has some significant meaning. God's gifts to us are not for us. God's gift to me is to give to somebody else. And his gifts to the church are that we would give to one another. Just like the trillion cells that are all making me a whole person and alive. The gift is for the benefit of the church. In verses 8 to 10, Paul mentions 8 specific gifts. I'm not going to mention them all, but it includes wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing. But his list of 8 is not an exhaustive list. If you go to Romans 12, which is almost a parallel passage, he's got another list, and it's got 5 or 6 of them that aren't in this list. And I want to mention a couple of those. That includes serving, encouraging, charitable giving, leadership, and showing mercy. They're kind of qualities of people. And as I was reading through that again yesterday, I resonated. I didn't remember encouragement being one of those gifts. But encouragement is something that is a gift in me for other people. And I can't not do it. It's like breathing. It's like when I'm with someone, if they're celebrating, I want to encourage that celebration. And if they're moaning and in pain, I want to encourage them that it's going to pass, but that I can be with them. And I can't not do it. I can't. And I think that I want to encourage you to know how God has gifted you and use that gift for the building up. And I don't mean to suggest that there's any deficiency here at all. I think we have a wonderful church, and people are doing exactly what I'm saying. So be encouraged. In verse 11, it says, all these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And that says I don't get to choose my gift. I get to discover it, but I don't get to choose it. And I don't think that there's any implication that we have a single gift. I think God can easily give us multiple gifts. In verse 14, it says, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Think about a foot and a hand. Okay, I've watched people walk on their hands, like in a gymnasium, right? They can walk 50 feet or 100 feet or something. But would anybody trade their hands for their feet? So, you know, the feet do what feet do. And hands do what hands do. And they're perfectly designed. So if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, what's going on? There's a kind of judgment. It might be envy. It might be, you know, the foot is not quite, it's not quite as capable as a hand. I would rather walk on my hands than use my feet for hands. I think that, you know, but there's a judgment, a valuing or devaluing that comes from comparing one to another. And Paul says that's crazy. It's not only wrong, it's wrong. It's an error, and it's also wrong. There's another aspect of it as well, and it says if the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of seeing be? Or if it was an eye, where would sense of smell be? That if we can't all be the same. If we were all the same, we wouldn't have a body. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, everyone, just as he wanted them to be. Every one of us. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. There's another kind of problem that Paul addresses in verse 21. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I can judge that, you know, I'm better than you are, and I don't need what you have to offer. And that's wrong. That's my deficiency at knowing my need. But it's not accurate. God, it calls us to value our differences. Value our differences, not criticize them. And I skip down to verses 24 to 26, if you're following. God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. I read this and I instantly think of our CareNet ministry. And some of you are engaged as members of CareNet, and others of us are on the outside, but I think whenever there's something to celebrate, we get a notification, an email, or in a bulletin. Let's celebrate with this person. Or let us hold up this other person in prayer who's going through a difficulty. That it's what that ministry is doing is exactly what the Scripture calls for. I think I'll just write down a list of the ministries. I know just within the last month or so, we got a little booklet that had some reports from some of the ministries in the church. But this is a list I came up with, and I don't know that it's 100% exhaustive, and please don't be offended if I left your ministry off. Just tell me and I'll add it. So preaching and teaching, Bible study, worship, prayer, VIP, nursery, childcare, women's ministry, youth Sunday school, adult Sunday school, benevolence and missions, giving, tithes, financial accountability, buildings and properties maintenance, audio systems, website design and maintenance, hospitality, couples, counseling, elders and leaders meetings, socials, fun, fellowship, CareNet, 20-somethings. That's 25 different ministries. We have fewer than 100 adult members in our church, and we've got 25 different ministries going on. And I think that's pretty fantastic. Now, we read verse 27. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And that's my message. I have one other thing to link it to. What is our theme? Something in love?
Liberty and love.
So Paul finishes this passage in his letter to the Corinthians with that verse. And then in verse 31 in our Bibles, which is just a couple verses farther down, it says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And what that most excellent way is chapter 13. Of course, Paul didn't write in chapters, but about the love of God and the whole next section of the Scripture. He's just finished doing this exhaustive discussion about the body and our parts of the body and having different roles in the body and ministering to one another in the body. And he's, you know, it's thorough and encouraging. And he says, but there's a better way. And that's the love, the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. And so that's pretty good.
Amen.
And I'm done. Thank you.